You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Exactly 9 o'clock on this beautiful, hot Monday morning in Chicago. And I'm pastor of St. Mary's Parish in Evanston, co-hosting
Graziano.
Oh, I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. Oh, that's why I forgot again. And you're not.
And I'm not.
I forgot to give my name. But co-host, Grazia Marcheschi, the Director of Ministerial Resource Development for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Graz.
Good to see you, Greg.
How are you doing?
Nice graduation liturgy at your parish yesterday.
It was a marvelous graduation, my first one as pastor at St. Mary Parish.
And you're a wonderful Bill presider.
Well, thank you.
And I'm not getting a raise for saying that.
That's right. And your wife, Nancy, did a beautiful job with music. Excellent again. And I'll tell you, what was special for me was my first graduation with the 8th grade class as pastor at St. Mary. Of course, it's also with Father Bill Tkachuk at St. Nicholas for Pope John the 23rd, an outstanding school. It's always special for a pastor with his first graduation. These kids are now off to high school.
Off to high school. They grow up fast.
They do. They really do.
I've known all those kids since they were little bitty ones. I did.
Since preschool.
Yeah, I've been watching them year after year performing.
With the show.
Yeah.
And all that goes by so fast.
It's amazing.
And with all the graduations, for all the graduates, I always hope and pray, my prayer is that they realize the Lord is with them. They don't have to go through life alone. And that's what Pentecost is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And even like the word paraclete. Para comes from the Greek meaning along with or next to. So I tell these young people, the Lord is with you, to walk with you. You don't have to run ahead or stay behind, but the Lord is with us.
One of the values of a Catholic school, you get message.
You know what? And we are different. And you're right about that. Our number, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. This morning on Catholic Community of Faith, we will talk with two people whose ministry is truly faith in action. In our first segment, we will consider how the Archdiocese supports social justice, education in our parishes, and in our second segment, we'll meet a dedicated deacon who founded a ministry that serves a group most of us never even think about. But in studio, we have Tom Howard, backed by popular demand, a former youth ministry coordinator and now director of justice education in the Office for Peace and Justice here in the Archdiocese. And prior to joining the Archdiocese in 2007, Tom served for 16 years as executive director of Life Directions, a not-for-profit organization serving Chicago's at-risk youth. We are pleased to talk with Tom about the work he is doing, increasing the capacity of parishes and vicariates to do the social ministry of the church, and in particular, about how he's doing this week in Palos Heights. Tom Howard, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, Father Greg, and good morning, Graz.
That's the longest introduction I've ever had for a guest, but it was well worth it. Tom, before we get into your present work, what was your background that led you to all the work you're doing now with youth ministry?
I worked for Life Directions as a non-profit 501c organization founded by a Redemptorist, Adrian Dominican, and a Passionist priest. And we worked in the Chicago public high schools with a peer mentor and peer motivation program working with at-risk youth.
And that was for how many years you were doing that?
I did that for 16 years. And what I found in that work was a wonderful opportunity to engage people of goodwill, to grow in virtues and values. And I wanted to bring this knowledge of how to engage young people with virtues and values to my own faith tradition about 5 years ago. So that's why I joined the Archdiocese.
Tom, we hear that expression often, at-risk youth. What are the factors that put a young person at risk?
Really, I think it's the lack of role models. So we look at, for instance, I'm a confirmation catechist at Good Shepherd, which I love, by the way. I just love being a confirmation catechist. And we had a dinner with Bishop John Manns before the confirmation a couple weeks ago. And we're talking about the choosing of the confirmation name. And we talked about the struggle for the young person to really pick that name. And I mentioned to the bishop, I said, it's hard for young people to pick a name of a saint when they don't have adults they can emulate. They don't even know what the word emulate means. So I think we really need strong role models, adults who can provide that.
I think, Tom, you hit it right on the head, the need for strong role models. When I ask young people, who are some of your role models, it's incredible who they choose. You know, people not of great moral values or integrity. And just because someone can hit a baseball, catch a football, score a goal, that does not automatically make you a role model. And unfortunately, in our society, that we need to develop role models, and it's along the lines of Jesus Christ. So we sometimes take for granted role models in our life, and yet realizing that is a gift and not a given. But then even going back with your own life, the work with Life Directions, working with at-risk youth, how did that develop? How did the Lord move in your life? Like, why are you not a lawyer today, an accountant, running your own business, a grocery store, whatever? How did the Lord move you in this direction?
Well, I really was evangelized by the poor. I went to Venezuela as an undergraduate student from St. John's University in Collegeville, Minnesota. The Office of Campus Ministry had an opportunity for a student to take a year off to go work in the missions, and I was chosen to go to Maracay, Venezuela. And I was evangelized by the poor. I had a great life here in the United States, but I realized my own impoverishment of understanding of really understanding the scriptures from the sense of the heart. And the poor really woke that up in me. So I was evangelized by the poor. And my life has never been the same. I was changed and transformed by the poor.
That's a powerful story.
That's a great story.
Student, you know, who typically we would think is going to be preoccupied with drinking when they go away from school, you know, on a school trip, instead really connects with the needs of those who are less advantaged. You say you've never been the same. What are some of the things that have shifted in you?
Well, when you look at the perspective of the poor in Venezuela, they would see life through a different lens. They saw it through empathy, human concern, compassion, forgiveness. And I saw life through a more of an individualistic frame, what I could win, what I could compete, and how I could succeed. And that really changed my perspective. And I put that lens on. I started seeing life through the lens of Jesus Christ and really developed that. I woke up in me a need to grow in my faith, to learn more about my faith, the richnesses of my faith.
Tom, I need to ask you this. When you went down to Venezuela to begin that internship, you said for 1 year, which is a long time out of your life, wasn't 1 week, 1 month, did you go down the attitude how you were going to change the people, what you were going to bring to them, but 1 year realized, 1 year later realized how much they had touched your life and given to you? Because I say that because when I was an associate pastor at St. Mary of the Woods, every year for the first 5 years with Jim O'Malley and the team, we'd go to Appalachia, Cranks Creek, Kentucky, near the West Virginia border, the poorest county in the U.S., Harlan County. And I thought, oh, all this I'm going to bring to the people as a priest. Tom and Graz, I would leave every year so touched by these people. I was humbled regarding how much they taught me about life. Similar thing there, Tom?
Absolutely. I think that you're touching into what we call about reciprocal love and that whole perspective of love which I received in Venezuela. I went down with the perspective of wanting to travel, really. And I think that a lot of the programs we currently have in the Archdiocese for youth to go on mission trips, everyone has different motives, but we need to invest in these programs because they give young people the opportunity to sort out just exactly what is their identity, what is who they are as a human person, why they were created. And I had a year of time to discover who I truly was and what God created me for.
Tell us about the work that you're doing now within the Archdiocese. You're involved in youth ministry. How do you bring this rich background that you have, the work you did with the at-risk youth, and allow that to inform the work that you're doing with youth today?
Currently, I'm a D-Min student at Catholic Theological Union, and I have a high curiosity, intellectual curiosity. What about my faith tradition? What about, how can I connect education with advocacy? So there's a lot of good Catholics out there in our archdiocese who want to serve, who want to create a food pantry, who want to do all good types of things with peace and justice, but they lack the education with the advocacy. So our office offers that opportunity to strengthen the advocacy with education. What is it about our Catholic faith tradition that undergirds solidarity, subsidiarity, common good, and human dignity? Those are the principles of Catholic social teaching that we have to give to our parishes.
You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. We're going to move to a short break, but don't go away. Listen to these brief messages that we'll be airing about some of the good things happening within the Archdiocese. Graziano Marcheschi and Father Greg Sakowicz, be right back with you. Don't go away.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th, as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon, and we'll see you at the finish line.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. The time is 9:12 on this Monday morning in Chicago. Father Greg Sakowicz along with Graziano Marcheschi. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. And our guest is Tom Howard, the Director of Justice Education in the Office for Peace and Justice in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Tom, the title I just gave, what does that mean? What do you do?
Well, my role really is, if you look back at 1967, Popolare Progresso was published, and we talked about the word integral human development. Now we're here, we're in 2011. What does it mean to have integral human development? A lot of things have changed. We have globalization. We have the rampant internet. So the young people, they're shaping their identities in a whole different world. So my job is really to bridge the gap. We have people that grew up with Popolare Progresso who want to bring the idea of integral human development into their communities, but there's a gap between them and the young people. So my job is to bridge that gap, to give them a stronger anthropology and a stronger theological foundation to do the good work of social justice.
You mentioned Populorum Progresso. Tell us what that is.
That was an encyclical written by Paul VI that talked about how the church has the deepest well for helping a human being to understand who or she is in this world, why they were created, and how to develop someone just not on the educational side or the academic side, but the spiritual side, and to nurture the head with the heart so someone can be an integral human being.
And what's so interesting is that, you know, people are seeking identity and life's meaning and purpose in all the wrong places. They think it's being done through drinking, through drugs, through popularity, through power, through greed, it's in all the wrong places. I remember the image once is the day we are born, there's literally a hole in our heart. Now, doctors will say there's a little small hole in the heart the day we're born, but I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medical person. But on a spiritual level, we are born with a hole in our heart, and we spend our whole lives filling that hole with other stuff. And ultimately, that hole can only be filled and satisfied with God, in and with God. So we spend our whole life trying to fill the gap, like you say, fill the hole. It's only then through the Lord to fill that gap, that hole in our lives. And the church has so much to offer. So in the work that you do, Tom, what do you find frustrates you the most in dealing with young people regarding that gap?
Well, this morning, for instance, a lot of young people on the south side of Chicago are going to be waking up with a hole in their heart about the young man who was murdered, the basketball player, the 17-year-old man. So they'll have that hole in their heart of revenge and misunderstanding. A lot of older people are waking up with a hole in their heart over D-Day. Today is the anniversary of D-Day.
67 years ago
67
today.
67 days. 67 years. So, and other people, however, are waking up with the realization that we're in between Ascension and Pentecost. And they're reflecting on what those 40 days and the 50 days before the Pentecost. So that's a different way to reflect and to look at life. So what we can fill up with young people is say, what does it mean for our Lord to ascend to heaven? And what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to pour down on us? And how are we living in a church where we can bring that energy and that enthusiasm of the youth of the Holy Spirit and transform the world? So this young man has a partner. A young man has someone who can offer him hope for the future.
Tom, talk about how social justice issues are not just politics, but faith as well.
If you look at our latest encyclical by Benedict XVI, Caritas in Verate, there's advocacy around immigration issues, but there's also compassion and care for the poor. There's the Chicago Food Depository. There's a whole litany of ways. There's Catholic Relief Services. In our office, we have Catholic Relief Services and also the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development is to end the cycle of poverty. How do we end the cycle of poverty? We can do that through economic job development, through the development of people, for workers' rights, the ending of sexism, racism. There's all kinds of ways that churches can respond to the threats to human dignity. It's a wide range of ways that the church can do that.
And what would you say to someone who would argue, well, that's the business of politicians. They're supposed to be worrying about that, not us. We're supposed to be praising God.
Jesus got involved. Jesus got his hands dirty. Jesus confronted systems that systematically denied individuals the right to develop. God has given us our human dignity through the book of Genesis. We know that we're created in the imago Dei, in the image of God. Therefore, anything that prohibits our development as a human person must be confronted and addressed in a systematic and strategic way. We need to do that, however, together as a community. We can't do it alone. So we can't just have a lot of Pied Pipers out there screaming and yelling. They have to do it in the context of a faith community that builds a systematic response.
Did you ever get to have someone tell you, a young person, knock out the pie in the sky stuff? You know, be part of this world. I mean, has anybody ever confronted you, a young person, and said, Tom, what you're saying is nice, but it doesn't work in the real world?
Yeah, we have lost a lot of, there's a certain amount of skepticism out there, and it needs to be dealt with in a loving way. Practically speaking, if we look at the world, it is difficult to make change. But I've realized in this work and my short period here on life, here on earth, that we need to work together. We need to work towards Trinitarian love. The Father worked with the Son and the Holy Spirit. They cooperated together. They each were unique individuals, but they lived together in love. We need to do that in our parishes. We need to work ecumenically. We have to work with the Baptist churches, the evangelical churches, the Jewish synagogues to do something positive in our community.
We're going to move to another short break. You're listening to Catholic Communion of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Our phone number is 312-255-8408. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. And we're going to be right back after these short announcements. Don't go away.
Is there any more time?
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice, DVD, and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. Our guest this morning for the first half hour, Tom Howard, the Director of Justice Education in the Office for Peace and Justice for the Archdiocese of Chicago. As Gras mentioned, our phone number, 312-255-8408. Jump in on the conversation. Tom, what's coming up this Wednesday?
This Wednesday, June 8th, in Incarnation Parish in Palos Heights, a group of Vicariate 5 Peace and Justice Coordinators have asked me to put together an orientation session for peace and justice. So we're going to have an orientation session. It starts at 7 o'clock at Incarnation Parish in Palos Heights. And if anyone's interested in doing more with peace and justice, come to this orientation meeting because we're going to have 5 sessions this summer on developing a peace and justice group at your parish.
Now, where is Incarnation located in Palos Heights?
5757 West 137th Street in Palos Heights.
And why don't you give us a phone number they can reach you to learn more about this?
They can reach me at 312-534-3809.
That number once again.
312-534-3809.
And what about a web?
thoward@archchicago.org, or you can reach us at www.archchicago.org and just go to the Peace and Justice website, and you can locate me right there.
Now, when you talk about a Peace and Justice Committee for the parish, is this for any parishioners or a youth-oriented Peace and Justice Committee?
Well, that's a great question, Gratz, because if you look at a lot of peace and justice committees in the Archdiocese of Chicago, one of the common thing they're struggling with is succession, how they can get young people, young adults, to join their committees. So we're going to deal directly with that issue. How do we work on a succession plan? We've been successful, but how do we build a succession plan? So, yeah, that's a major concern for peace and justice committees.
Well, tell us what you're doing specifically in the area of youth and young adults. We've got the year of the youths, of youth and young adults coming up as part of the 5-year strategic plan within the Archdiocese. And that's the first target population, isn't it? Youth and young adults. How is your office going to be responding to that?
Well, with the year of youth and young adults, one of the things that the Peace and Justice Office is going to do is, when we looked at the strategic plan, one of the consistent things that came out was when young people are shaping their religious identities, when they experience a peace and justice activity, that's a metanoia experience. That's a life-changing experience for them. So we'd like to gather all the youth together, and we're talking about culminating the year of youth adult and young adults with some peace and justice activities. Monsignor Hines and our office are still kind of putting that all together, so nothing's official yet. But we're going to play a strong role in this year of youth and young adults to help youth ministry programs have more opportunities for young people to experience metanoia, life transformation experience through peace and justice activities. Because when you serve the poor and you get involved with it, it's similar to my story. You're seeing life through a different lens.
Back along those lines, Tom, you know, many people say, oh, young people are only about themselves. They could care less about others. I disagree. I find many young people, if given the opportunity, really enjoy sharing of their life, especially those with the poor, when they go on these different trips and their life has been changed. So I find that young people today are religious, maybe not in the same ways we were growing up, but they somehow are seeking and hungering to reach out to those who have less. Has that been your experience, if provided the framework to do so?
Absolutely. I mean, the National Study of Youth and Religion does talk about this phenomena called moral therapeutic deism. And when you really break that down, it's like I'm spiritual but not religious. I don't have an institutional affiliation with my framework. And yet, we adults need to look at the positive aspects of the globalized youth and say, what can we draw from? How can we access that and have the spark happen with the young people? And the young person will remember, Father Greg took me on a mission trip. The youth minister took me on a mission trip. These role models, these adults, cared enough about me that they organized some time for me. And later on in life, they'll say, and they belong to something larger than themselves, the parish Catholic faith community. And that's how we can end the cycle of attrition. We have a huge gap, the 13 to 25. If they're not involved in the parish right now, we're afraid when they become 25.
We lose them.
We lose them. So we have to be very strategic and specific about offering specific opportunities for young people to get involved in their parish life through peace and justice activities right at their critical ages.
Yeah, that sounds like, you're really hitting two birds with one stone there. You're meeting a very dire social need by helping these young people become aware of those who are less fortunate around them and giving them tools with which to respond. But at the same time, you're helping them to stay connected with church. You're helping them to see the advantages of not just being, what was the term you used before? Moral.
Rather spiritual, but not religious.
Yeah. Because that seems to be a very much of a growing trend. Everyone prides themselves in being spiritual, whatever that might mean. I think part of the attraction of that approach is it can mean whatever you want it to. But when we're part of a community, as you said, when you have a mentor, then there's accountability, then there's norms. And that isn't as attractive to this culture because it's a very me-oriented culture.
The example I sometimes use is my whole life I was younger playing sports, but the one thing I enjoyed was bird watching. And I have bird feeders by the rectory. I don't feed the birds in the summer. I think nature can take care of itself. But once it's fall comes in winter, you start putting the different seed for the birds to come to. When the feeders are filled and the birds come flocking to be fed, it's marvelous to watch. Come summertime, the feeders, no suet, no seed, no thistle. They come, they hit, and they leave because it's empty. And the image one struck me, that's how it is with church. If people are coming to church and feeling fed, nourished, that sense of the body of Christ, the community, that we feed each other, and of course, Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, and then go be Eucharist and Christ to others. But sometimes for young people and older, they feel they're not being fed in the community, and they fly away. They fly away. We need to bring this program for a segment to a close. I want to thank in a very special way Tom Howard, the Director of Justice Education in the Office for Peace and Justice in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Tom, you've been on the program before. You'll be on again. Thank you for the great work you do. You are truly a witness in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Your life has been changed and touched by the Lord, and now you're sharing that, especially with our young people. Our phone number, 312-255-8408 on Catholic Community Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi. Stay with us, and again, Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And now Tom is going to leave here, take his bike, and go down to where?
The Meyer Center.
God bless your biker. Stay with us. Do not touch that dial.
Catholic Charities' Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. The time is 9:32 on this Monday morning in Chicago. Our phone number 312-255-8408. And our guest this half hour is Deacon John Green, founder and former executive director of Emmaus Ministries, Evangelical Ministry of Roman Catholic and Protestant Christians, reaching out to men in extraordinary ways. Deacon Green was ordained a deacon for the Archdiocese of Chicago and is now currently living in Ohio. He is the author of a new book entitled Street Walking with Jesus, Reaching Out in Justice and Mercy, about his experiences on the streets. Our very own Cardinal Francis George wrote the book, the foreword to the beautiful new book by Deacon John Green. But I need to read this even before we say hello to Deacon John Green. Many people are repulsed by prostitutes or even beggars holding cardboard signs. Yet their attitudes toward the poor and homeless often reflect deeper fears, says the Chicago founder of an outreach program for helping homeless men escape poverty, addiction, and sexual sin. So on that note, would like to welcome to the program Deacon John Green. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Father Greg. Graziano, great to be with you guys.
Yeah, good to have you, John. How's it feel to be the executive director emeritus?
It feels good.
John, what year are you?
We miss Chicago quite a bit.
Are you farming out there in Ohio? What are you doing out there?
We're actually living with my mom, and she's facing some of those challenging senior health issues and end-of-life stuff, so we're kind of journeying with her there. So.
Oh, God bless you for that.
What year were you ordained a deacon for the Archdiocese of Chicago?
2002.
Okay, so you're celebrating your 9th anniversary.
Yep.
Well, explain to us the work you do, John, and how you got involved, and, of course, and share us a little bit about your new book, Street Walking with Jesus, Reaching Out in Justice and Mercy.
Sure. I actually grew up in Ohio, where I'm living right now, and I went out to, got exposed to Chicago through going to Wheaton College, and found myself one of 12 Roman Catholics out of 3,000 very smart evangelicals, and that was a challenge. That's worth a book in and of itself.
Yeah, you survived.
Wow.
But while I was out in Wheaton, I actually got a job as a youth minister at St. Mark's in Wheaton as part of the Joliet diocese there. And a woman I was working with, female prostitutes, came and shared with our youth group, and we started going down and helping her out. And I'm kind of handy, so I grabbed my toolbox, and I went down and would fix things for her about once a month. She'd take me out to lunch and say thanks. And this one time we're walking down, and we cross Halsted and Addison, and she points over to these three guys kind of standing on the corner. She says, well, those are male prostitutes over there, and nobody cares about them. And I was, you know, I was 19, 20 years old, and I saw these guys standing on the corner, and I watched as a John pulled up, and one of the young men kind of pulled off the sidewalk and poked his head in the car and eventually got in, and she talked about they're going to go and turn a trick. And it just broke my heart to see these guys selling themselves on the streets. And that just that experience, just seeing that, you know, very briefly just stayed with me. And I ended up dropping out of college, went to New York, worked with Covenant House for a couple years, and ran into hundreds of young men, young boys in prostitution. And then when I came back to Chicago in 89, I started one night a week just going down on the streets and saw these guys hustling and just decided to try to do something about it.
It's very interesting. We always think of prostitution as the woman on the street corner, and all of a sudden you're saying it's the men on the street corner that, you know, it was something you learned through that woman and never even gave it a second thought.
Yeah, you know, male prostitution is just not on people's radar, and it really blends into the urban environment a lot more than female prostitutes. Sometimes even young kids can identify a female prostitute on the streets, and just, you know, you have the flamboyant clothing sometimes, you have the presence of a pimp, and you just don't have that with male prostitution. And yet male prostitution, if you look at the FBI crime reports, is really increasing in our society, as, you know, we got continuing breakdown of families, the sexualization of our youth, sexual abuse in all sorts of different circles. So many of our guys have been sexually abused before they get to the streets. So it's really a growing problem.
It must not have been easy to establish credibility with these guys on the street when you first started to reach out to them. How did you overcome, you know, what I would assume would be a natural inclination on their part to think, is this one more guy who's going to try to take advantage of me?
Sure. And, you know, am I a trick or am I a cop, is what they normally think. And you know, one of our staff several years ago, he described outreach as a fat man fishing. And he said you just kind of go by the stream and you cast your net, you cast your rod into the stream, and you just sit there and wait. And that's really the approach you have to take. You have to let people come to you. If you're too aggressive on the streets, you look like a trick, you look like a cop, and, you know, people don't come to you. But what we found is that a couple techniques. One is just consistency. So at Emmaus Ministries, we have outreach teams, male-female teams, that go out every night of the week, sometimes two groups going out every night of the week to the same places, in front of the same bars, the same park areas, these different areas where guys hustle, and we're just present. We're in the midst of that community. We're taking the same risks that they are. We're being present to them, but we let them come to us first, and that really helps to build that credibility. And then when guys realize that you're serious, that you love them, that you're coming with this, you know, compassion of the gospel, and you want to help them get their life together, they'll protect that. You know, there's been several times where myself or some of our staff sometimes have been threatened on the streets, but it's always been one of our guys that have come to our defense because they value our presence so much.
The thing is, the work that you do, John, do these men say to you, I'm doing it because I need the money? Or does it go way beyond that?
You know, it's a mix. Most of the guys are really engaged in this because, you know, they're looking to survive. You know, and I think it's in chapter 16 in Street Walking with Jesus, I talk about a young guy named Samuel. And Samuel, very typical background of our guys, grew up in a home just, you know, without any type of love and affection, and it was just a violent place. He, you know, the only reasons why he went to school was so that he could get, you know, breakfast and lunch because he just didn't have it at home, and he was sexually abused and just the poverty. And eventually, as he was looking as a way to survive, he got into prostitution. And he was actually turning a trick in the building right next door to Emmaus Ministries up in Uptown. And his customer tried to kill him, and Samuel jumped out the fourth floor window. And so he falls out this fourth floor window. He breaks his ankle and his elbow, and he comes hobbling over to our ministry. And actually, Deacon Alfred Coleman and I, Alfred used to be on staff with Emmaus. He's now at Zacchaeus' house down on the south side. But he and I were there, and Samuel came in. And we thought, okay, you know, we called 911, and we helped him get cleaned up. And we thought, okay, this is it. He's going to wake up and come to his senses. But he didn't. He kept on falling in and out of prostitution, in and out of the penitentiary. But then about 7 or 8 years ago, he just began this real steady walk away from the streets. And we've been walking with Samuel now for about probably 10 years that we've known him. And he's just doing great now. But it was that all those different things kind of came together, but Samuel started stripping away all those negative voices, those negative things speaking into his life, and now he's runs his own small business. He's going to school. He has two cats, and he's just doing great. And actually, I was in Chicago this last weekend, and I ran into him outside of Dunkin' Donuts, and we went and had coffee for an hour, and just catching me up on his life. And so it's a joy to see guys like him that do make it off the streets.
Great story.
We're going to continue our conversation with Deacon John Green and hear more about his exciting book, Street Walking with Jesus, when we return after these brief messages. Don't go away.
Now, I know Alfred Coleman. One of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you ready for the upcoming changes in the words of the Mass? The revision of the Roman Missal brings innovations that will affect us all. Whether you are a teacher, catechist, priest, or parishioner, excellent resources are available to help you understand these changes in the words of the liturgy. For more information about how you can prepare yourself and your assembly, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit www.revisedromanmissal.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. It's Monday morning in Chicago, 9:43 a.m. You're listening to Relevant Radio, AM 950. We're very grateful to you for spending this time of your morning with us. Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with our anchor, Father Greg Sakowitz. And we're talking with Deacon John Green, the founder of Emmaus House, who didn't want to be Mother Teresa or Dorothy Day. But it seems like you've fallen into that elder role anyway. And You're someone that many of us look up to because you did a very visionary thing. You pioneered in an area that really had been untouched before you, at least here in the Chicago area.
You know, I appreciate that, but you know, one of the reasons why I wrote "Street Walking with Jesus" is, I want to encourage all Catholics, all Christians, to recognize, you know, we're all called to be missionaries, whatever our state in life, whether we're in preschool or whether we're in the nursing home. You know, our baptismal call breeds in us, and I think grows within us a missionary spirit. And you know, it's not just the official missionaries we recognize in the church, but all of us are called to that missional life. And that's my hope for the book. You know, it'll tell you about our work with men involved in prostitution and my story of how I got into it. But I mostly just want to encourage people in the church to recognize that God has a mission, a plan, a calling for each and every one of us.
The thing is, you know, you mentioned before the break, John, about the story of Samuel and young man from one of the chapters in your book. But in all the work you do, what frustrates you the most? What are your biggest challenges and obstacles?
Wow, that's a great question. You know what frustrates me the most is how difficult it is to get support for this type of work. You know, I walk with guys like Samuel, and you know, I've had the privilege of walking with guys as they're passing away from AIDS or just walking with them as they're getting their life together. And it is such a joy to be with a prodigal son when he comes to his senses and starts that journey home to the Father's house. And yet, when I go and I share it at churches or I share at different places or colleges about it, it's, you know, there's an ick factor to Emmaus. You know, that's what I call it, the ick factor. When I start talking about men involved in prostitution and people start thinking about what that is, there's like, ooh, ick, you know, there's a fearful aspect. And yet, these guys are just precious. They are just so great to know. And what frustrates me sometimes is just how hard it is for the church to get past our fears of the other, fears of, you know, who these guys on the streets are, or fears that we may not be able to help them, when just showing up, you know, being part of our outreach teams, helping out in our drop-in center, you know, giving financially, all those are ways to help Emmaus. But, you know, it's been a struggle ever since we were founded in 1990 to get support for our mission. And so that's one of the things that frustrates me.
You know, John, I've been to Emmaus. I have a little bit of a sense of how you approach these guys. But give us a sense of the journey from when you first meet someone to, you know, eventually broaching the subject of spirituality and maybe making a change in their life. I know it's not a hard sell kind of approach. I know that you don't beat people over the head.
Right.
You give them a chance to really get brought in by your constancy and your love and your support. But give us a sense of what that's like. I know these guys are coming from very difficult backgrounds, as you said. They may be straight, they may be gay, they've probably been abused at some point in their life. How do you begin to deal with someone with that kind of a history and even consider broaching the subject of God and church?
Sure. You know, it starts right from the outreach, right when you first meet a guy on the street. And, you know, again, as I mentioned, that kind of image of a fat man fishing, you know, you're just kind of, it has to be a soft approach because of what, you know, I love Pope John Paul II, who talks about, you know, the church proposes, we don't impose. And that's the same thing with doing outreach. You don't want to impose your faith, you don't want to impose your values, beliefs, but you want to propose. You want to say, you know what, you are worth so much more than what you're going to get paid tonight. You know, God loves you, He values you, He cares for you, and we just want to share that good news with you. And sometimes it may take years on the streets before a guy wakes up and comes to his senses. There's a guy named Mikey who's featured in one of the chapters, and we knew him for a couple of years on the streets, and he would never talk to our outreach teams. He'd walk away from us. He just was so intent. And it actually took a gang member stepped out of a car, shot him point blank in the head. The bullet ricocheted in his skull, knocked him out, caused a mini stroke. And when he woke up in Cook County Hospital, it was myself and one of our other staff that were waiting for him to come out of his coma. And that was the start of our relationship with Mikey. And it's been an up-and-down relationship for years. But he's another guy. He's living in southern Illinois. He's doing great. He's working at a church. And And yet it was a journey. It was walking with him. So when he finally came to his senses and said, okay, I want to get off the streets, we invited him then to our drop-in center. And our drop-in center is in the uptown neighborhood. It's open 6 days a week. There's food. There's clothing. We got great staff. There's a guy named Syl Davis, who's our ministry director, is just fantastic. And we just walk with the guys as they begin to make those steps and make those steps off the streets. Now, throughout all that, we share our faith with guys, but we do it when it's appropriate, and we do it in a way that they can understand it. But we want to, you know, encourage guys to grow spiritually.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith. Our guest is Deacon John Green, author of a new book, Street Walking with Jesus, Reaching Out in Justice and Mercy. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this break.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Imagine spending a week in a beautiful lakeside setting where you can focus, reflect, pray, and learn more about the treasures of the Bible. This wonderful opportunity is available for all those who sign up for the annual Summer Scripture Seminar at the University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary. Scholars from across the United States will help you explore the life-giving role the Bible plays in the liturgical life of the Church. This theme is timely as we await the implementation of the third edition of the Roman Missal in November. As always, Summer Scripture is guided by Vatican II's vision of Scripture as the soul of theology. The Summer Scripture Seminar will be held Sunday through Friday, June 19th to the 24th. Stay for the week or sign up for specific lectures. For details, call 847-837-4558 or go to www.summerscripture.org. The Summer Scripture Seminar offers spiritual renewal and inspiration with people who share your passion for the Word of the Lord. It's a great way to start the summer.
And welcome back on this Monday morning. I'm eager to get through this week.
Okay.
Monday morning to Catholic
right.
Community of Faith. It's 9:52.
You must be having a good week.
I'm having
feels
a great
like
week.
Feels like Friday already.
You know, it's...
And it's Monday.
You know, when you enjoy your work, it just seems to fly by. Especially when you're hosting with such a brilliant anchor and you've got such a wonderful guest on the...
Nice recovery there.
There you go.
Cubs yeah. keep losing. The Sox are losing. What more could we ask for?
Hey, John, listen, why is it, this has always been difficult for me to understand. I'm sure it's difficult for a lot of people. The assumption, I think, would be that someone who's in the life of a prostitute, male or female, would be stuck there and would be eager to get out if only given the opportunity. But from everything I've heard, the reality seems to be that it's difficult for these guys to let go of the life. And that when you and others at Emmaus show them different ways, you know, like you say, you're worth so much more than the money you're going to make tonight. Mm. You could set them up with a job. They don't let go. What is it that keeps them there?
Well, you know, I think it's that lack of a safety net. You know, for you and I and for your listeners, you know, think about the question, would you be a prostitute? Would you go out and prostitute yourself on the streets? And, you know, most of your kind listeners would say no to that. But think about what would stop us from doing that. It would be our resources, our faith in Christ, our faith community, our spouse, our insurance, our job. All of those things are our safety net. And when something devastates our life, it's that safety net that's going to catch us. The big difference with these guys on the streets, they don't have that. Most of our guys, you know, grew up in homes where a father wasn't present. Most were sexually abused. Most dropped out by the fourth or fifth grade. Most of them just grew up in immense poverty and you know, no self-esteem, self-worth, examples of industriousness, all those things that we just breathe growing up in healthy environments. These guys never had that. And when you don't have that, getting off the streets is an incredibly difficult process. But it's
so is what we would call a normal life kind of scary to them?
Sometimes it is, you know, and we've certainly seen guys as they begin to transition out of the streets, you know, almost sabotage themselves sometimes, you know, and fall back. That's why they need people to walk with them, and that's what we do at Emmaus. We can't walk that road for guys, but we can walk it with them.
But if given the chance, John, when they still say thank you, but no thank you, is at the heart of that fear? Is at the heart of that they don't believe you or trust you because they've never been able to trust anybody their whole life?
I think it's some of that. I think it is a fear of falling or failing again. There's a lot of fear of rejection or, you know, and unfortunately, sometimes people can get very comfortable on the streets. You know, they've learned a way to survive. They've learned a way that, you know, where they can go and get food and go and get a shower, and they've kind of got their system and they don't want to mess it up. But I think it, again, it's when you start walking with them and you start interjecting hope and interjecting, you know, just that there's a life better from the streets. But it's a long climb for a lot of people.
Now, John, what can the ordinary listener on this program this morning, what can they, what can we do? How can we make a difference?
And you're asking that besides buying Street Walking with Jesus, right?
That's right.
Correct.
Okay.
10
you know,
copies.
The first
our
thing
Sunday
I would say,
visitor press.
Yeah, buy Street Walking with Jesus because, you know, again, one of the reasons why I wrote the book was just to encourage people to live a missional life because we're all called to do that. But I think in real practical terms, one of the things that I always tell people this in the book, and sometimes people argue with me, but I never give money to people on the streets. I think the last thing people need is a handout. It's much easier for me. It's more comfortable for me, but it doesn't do a lot of good. What does do good is what I call the three T's: time, touch, and talk. If you meet somebody on the street and they're hustling for money or they're begging for money down the loop, just stop. Stop and talk to them like a human being. You know, pat them on the back, shake their hand, give them some of your time. All of that stuff will be an incredible gift to them, much more so than the buck that's in your pocket. So that's one of the practical things I would encourage people to do.
But let me ask you, okay, someone comes up to you on the street and says, can I have a dollar? And you start talking about the time, touch, and talent, or time, touch, and...
And talk.
And talk.
Yeah.
At the end of it, they're still going to say, could I have a dollar?
Yeah, and they might, and I tell them no. I tell them I don't give money to people on the street. That's my typical response. And then I'll start talking to them, and I'll ask them what their name is. You look at, you know, or maybe walk across the street. If you see somebody begging and you see somebody panhandling in the loop, walk across the street and just sit there for 10 minutes and watch them and watch how people react to them and look at them. It's amazing just how dehumanizing being on the streets and being homeless is, because people just look at you with like you're a piece of garbage, like you're a piece
of trash.
Well,
there's no question that when you see a homeless person standing or walking toward you, people do look down, look away. Yep. It's got to be, from that perspective, very dehumanizing, where the person wants to say, I'm a human being. But then I've had people say to me, when they go to work downtown, how should I put it? They're tired of having people come up to them and say, do you have a dollar? Do you have a dollar? And say, if I walk from the train station to my place of work, I could go through $20 in a morning one way.
Sure. So don't do that. But stop and, you know, and I know
or if I stop, or if I stop and talk with everybody, I'll be a half hour late for work.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, you know what? Don't stop and talk to everybody, because you got to go to work and you got to pay the bills. You got to put food on the table. But I bet you could stop and talk with one of those people.
And I didn't realize that talk about talk. We're out of time. I want to thank in a very special way Deacon John Green. author of a new book, Street Walking with Jesus, Reaching Out in Justice and Mercy, published by our Sunday Visitor. I want to thank in a very special way also our co-host, Grazia Marcheschi. Wonderful job and excellent production work with Diane Dunnigan. Terrific engineer, Michael May. To our listeners, God bless and have a wonderful, wonderful week.
See you on Friday.
See you on Friday.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on